And welcome back to the Infinite Talks podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending where you are in this present moment. But check this out. This story is about Apple. When Apple was born. Now that they have decided to start a business, they needed a name. Jobs had gone for another visit to the All One Farm, where he had been pruning the Gravenstein apple trees. I said it wrong. The Gravenstein apple trees. And Wozniak picked him up at the airport. On the ride down to Los Altos, they bandied around options. They considered some typical tech words such as Matrix. That would have been a cool name. And some neologisms. I don't know what that means. Such as Executech. And some straightforward, boring names like Personal Computers, Inc., PCI. The deadline for deciding was the next day. When Jobs wanted to start fighting the papers, finally Jobs proposed Apple Computer. I was on one of my fruitarian diets, he explained. I had just come back from the Apple farm. It sounded fun, spirited, and not intimidating. Apple took the edge off the word computer. Plus, it would get us ahead of the Atari in the phone book. Damn, he's thinking about alphabetical order. He told Wozniak that if a better name did not hit them by the next afternoon, they would just stick with Apple. And they did. Apple, it was a smart choice. The word instantly signaled friendliness and simplicity. It managed to be both slightly offbeat and as normal as a slice of pie. There was a whiff of counterculture, back to the nature, earthiness to it. Yet, nothing could be more American than apple pie, right? And the two words together, Apple Computer, provided an amusing disjuncture. It doesn't quite make sense, said Mike Markula, who soon thereafter became the first chairman of the new company. So it forces your brain to dwell on it. Apple and computers, that doesn't go together. So it helped us grow brand awareness. Wozniak was not ready to commit full time, though. He was an HP company man at heart, or so he thought so, and he wanted to keep his day job there. Jobs realized, no pun intended, he needed an ally to help quarrel Wozniak. Sorry, let me say that again. Jobs realized he needed an ally to help corral Wozniak and adjudicate if there was a disagreement. So he enlisted his friend Ron Wayne, the middle-aged engineer at Atari, who had once started a slot machine company. So basically, Apple started with very low funding. I think they had about $2,000. Steve had sold his car for like $1,300 bucks. And his friend, Wozniak, had sold a computer for like $750 or something. Not a computer, like some kind of computer device. So they raised about $2,000. And then they didn't know a name. So they were like just kind of like coming up with names. But then they had a deadline. I think that helped them. They had a deadline and they wanted something that didn't sound too computery so that it can make you think. So he just went with this diet type. You know, he liked to eat veggies and fruits. And at that point, I think he was eating a lot of, I think, apples and stuff. So he's like, you know what? Let's just name an Apple Computer. Pretty easy, quick to the point. So Wayne, continuing with reading, Wayne knew that it would not be easy to make Wozniak quit HP, Hewlett Packard, nor was it necessary right away. Instead, the key was to convince him that his computer designs would be owned by the Apple partnership. Walls had a parental attitude toward the circuits he developed, and he wanted to be able to use them in other applications or let HP use them. Wayne said, Jobs and I realized that the circuits would be more of the core of Apple. We spent 2 hours in a roundtable discussion at my apartment, and I was able to get Walls to accept this. His argument was that a great engineer would be remembered only if he teamed with a great marketer. And this required him to commit his designs to the partnership. Jobs was so impressed and grateful that he offered Wayne partnership, a 10% stake in the new partnership, turning him into a tiebreaker if Jobs and Wozniak disagreed over an issue. They were very different, but they made a powerful team, said Wayne. Jobs at times seemed to be driven by demons, while Woz seemed a naif who was toyed with by angels. Jobs had a bravado that helped him get things done. Occasionally, by manipulating people, he could be charismatic, even mesmerizing, but also cold and brutal. Wozniak, in contrast, was shy and socially awkward, which made him seem childishly sweet. Woz is very bright in some areas, but he's almost like a savant. Since he was so stunted when it came to dealing with people, he didn't know, said Jobs. We were a good pair. It helped that Jobs was awed by Wozniak's engineering wizardry, and Wozniak was awed by Jobs' business drive. I never wanted to deal with people and step on toes, but Steve could call up people he didn't know and make them do things, Wozniak recalled. He could be rough on people he didn't think were smart, but he never treated me rudely. Even in later years, when maybe I couldn't answer a question as well as he wanted. So Wozniak was, they both needed each other. Wozniak was great with engineering, and Steve had both engineering ideas, but a great mindset for business. Getting things done. Even after Wozniak became convinced that his new computer design should become the property of the Apple partnership, he felt that he had to offer it first to HP, since he was working there. I believed it was my duty to tell HP about what I had designed while working for them. That was the right thing and the ethical thing. So he demonstrated it to his managers in the spring of 1976. The senior executive at the meeting was impressed and seemed torn, but he finally said it was not something that HP could develop. It was a hobbyist product, at least for now, and didn't fit the company's high-quality market segments. Wozniak was disappointed, but now, he said, I was free to enter into the Apple partnership. On April 1st, 1976, Jobs and Wozniak went to Wayne's apartment in Mountain View to draw up the partnership agreement. Wayne said he had some experience writing in legalese, so he composed a 3-page document himself. His legalese got the better of him. Paragraphs began with various flourishes. Be it noted herewith. Be it further noted herewith. Now, the refor. In consideration of the respective assignments of interest. These are examples of what he wrote. But the division of shares and profits was clear. 45, 45, and 10%, respectively. And it was stipulated that any expenditures of more than $100 would require agreement of at least two of the partners. Also, the responsibilities were spelled out. Wozniak shall assume both general and majority and no. So Apple was born out of pure luck and hard work. I mean, luck because Steve Jobs met the right people. He came across the right people, had the right mindset. But he's lucky to have that lifestyle. We go back to the trajectory of his life, being adopted, being in different schools, making sure his parents always, provided the best for him. And they provided the avenues for him to link up with the right people. And then he didn't stop. Like, he didn't have funding. He wasn't a rich kid. But he had enough money, or he came up with it, the right amount of money, about $2,000, to make this dream become what we are now. Using a microphone on an iPhone to actually record this podcast. That's amazing. That is insane. That is wild. A lot of companies now use Steve's technology. Steve's
not only him, but like just the engineering teams he created, the products he's created. And he was he became a businessman. That's crazy. Like, he was more of a tech guy, but he was kind of, you know, very, very black and white when it came to business. He made a lot of things happen. Make sure that it was determination and hard work and making people believe they could do things that they was impossible to do. So using the mind. And then it's crazy because he was a hippie at one point. So the birth of Apple was trendsetting, and three dudes came together and made this happen. 45, 45, and 10%. And pretty amazing and cool stuff, man. And sometimes we think like, oh, dude, I don't want to do that business because, first of all, I don't know too much about that. Or, but you can do the research, right? Or you might say you don't have the right funding, but you can do stuff to raise that money. You maybe you don't have all the skill set, but you can meet the right people. So we in general, we have the answers there for us. We just need to look for them. You know, and we need to ask the universe to feed us that knowledge, and then feed us the right people with that knowledge, and give us inspiration to do what we have to do to make these dreams come to reality. And I think Steve just had a determination and, like I said, the chip on his shoulder vibe. Like, I ain't gonna stop for nobody. I wanna do what I wanna do, and I'm gonna make shit happen, you know? Like, I'm not gonna wait for things to happen. I'm gonna make things happen. And I'm not totally finished with this book. I'm like middle to like halfway, maybe close to halfway. But just the tenacity that I've read so far, like, he's a very tenacious person. That means that he's persistent, consistent, and determined. And there's nothing that's gonna sway him from what the vision that he has. That's what I'm getting so far. And I might be off because I don't know what's gonna happen between now and the end of the book. But as of right now, that's kind of like what I'm getting. And it's pretty cool that by reading this chapter and by reading this last few verses or these words, these pages, I'm, you know, making a realization for myself as well. Like, hey man, there's no excuses for things that you want to do. It's just what you want to do needs to be great vision. Think big, think clearly. And then I need to work on acquiring the funds, right? And there's always like Steve, he sold his car. He had no car, but he sold his car to make millions. He sold it for $1,300, raised $1,300 with that vehicle he sold. And his friend Steve Wozniak sold like some computer circuits for like $750. They had $2,000 on them and started Apple. They hired the one dude who became partner because he had intelligence for contracts and all that good stuff. So that's what I got to think about, man. That's what we need to think about. Like, how are we going to make this happen? How are we going to make this into reality? Things that we have in our mind, things that we can put together, but maybe we're not disciplined, and maybe we don't believe in ourselves as much, or maybe we are around the wrong people that won't motivate you or inspire you to do greater things or bigger things. So we don't take the shots. We don't do the disciplined homework. We don't do the research. We don't talk to the right people, or we're afraid to talk to people and share over vulnerabilities, right? Because everybody wants to be that guy who knows it all. But I think you want to be that person that learns from everybody. I think that's when you learn the most and you're able to acquire the information that you might not be good at. And that's when you can team up with other people and make great teams to become the best version of yourself, but then the best version as a team. Because everybody has strengths and weaknesses, but identifying them is the key. If you can identify your strengths and your weaknesses, then you're able to complement yourself with people around you. Like, okay, I don't have this strength, so I can, this person can help me with this, making part of the team. You know, I'm good at this, but this person is not good at that, but I can help them out with that. And you know what? This other person of us in this group, we're not good at this, but this guy is good at that. And we can put it all together and we can make a team. Pretty amazing stuff what you can do just by the power of thought, the power of imagination, the power of writing down, the power to conceptualize an idea and have it all put out and laid out and actually following through with decision making that aligns with that idea. So I just wanted to talk about that, guys, and you know, tweeting this on a real level, talking to you about this on a Twitter level. I'm sharing out these messages, and it's just me, just being me. I love doing the podcast and being multidimensional, being able to interview people, being able to talk on a monologue, being able to break down a book, break down a film, and just being creative with the podcast. I'm not trying to be a one-man show, but right now, that's all I got, and I got to move forward with it, and pretty soon, maybe the ideas will brew up as I'm reading these books, these chapters, and I'm able to come up with ways to expand on this idea, on this frequency. So I just wanted to share that, and I'll be posting more on this content for Steve Jobs. I'm gonna call it the Steve Jobs series, and just check them out and tell me what you think. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you have something on your plate that you can give us, talk to us about that might be beneficial for us, the listeners, and the everybody in the podcasting business. So thank you so much, and stay tuned for more. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go to the infinitetree.online website. Go check it out. I'm going to be adding more stuff and expanding on making it monetized website. Also, go check your savings and work on investing. Don't just keep that money sitting down. Maybe you want to put it on some kind of investing that's going to make you at least more than what you're going to make from savings. Easy math, easy multiplication. No breaking your head on this one. It's just, if you're in the bank, you're making 1% or less than that. If you're in an investing circles, you might make 6 to 12%, maybe 30 if you're lucky. But you're making way more than 1% or less than 0.01%, something like that. Easy mathematics. So thank you for tuning in. Remember, we are not a brand. We are frequency.